Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And we go all the way to the very beginning of Genesis, Genesis and chapter number 1. The book of Genesis and chapter number 1. We're starting a brand new Sunday school series this morning on the stewardship of life. And the stewardship of life is all about our response to God. That as we see God for whom He truly is, we see God high, holy, and lifted up. That our response to God leads to our stewardship, understanding that He is God. He owns everything, and that He has placed things into our hands to be a steward. As we examine this principle, we find this is a principle that's found throughout the Bible, even at the very beginning. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Genesis chapter 1, and start with me in verse number 24. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 24, the Word of God says this, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing tree which is upon the face of the earth, every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day." And if you have the marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that is repeated twice within here, the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. And notice, if you don't mind, as we look here in Genesis chapter 1, notice in verse 26, the word dominion, the word dominion. Once again, in verse number 28, we have the word dominion. This word dominion, and we're going to study that in a later lesson, but here you could carry in your mind the idea of stewardship, not rulership, stewardship, that he has given us stewardship over everything that he has placed in our hands. And from the very beginning, God has provided these things for us, but not just so we could use however we see fit, but rather how we see fit, knowing that we're going to have to give an account to the one who owns it in the first place. The idea of stewardship of life. Normally when people think of stewardship, they think of finances and money. That's usually the first thing that they think of. But stewardship goes way beyond just finances. It goes for everything that we have within our life. It involves our own response to God within this life. In Genesis chapter 1, we find what God intended life to be. But unfortunately, man rebelled against God, rebelled against his plan, and decided to take matters in his own hands, and man fell. When man fell, there became a separation between us and God. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and then sin entered into the bloodstream of humanity. In fact, notice with me, if you don't mind, just looking through it, in verse number 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We were created in God's image. We were created in God's image for the idea that God was one at fellowship. God created us in his image so that way he could relate to us. He created us in his image that he made us the capstone of all creation, that he created us different than all creation. He did not implant inside of an animal a soul, a conscience. For example, a cat is never feels guilty. They do not feel guilty. They don't have a conscience, whereas that's something that we do. They don't have a soul as we do, meaning the idea that we can actually process information and figure out consequences, whereas animals don't feel the consequences. They do the here and now. There is a difference. God made us different, but he made us different for a reason. So we could respond to God, that we could have fellowship with God, that we could be with God. God designed us so we could be friends with him. But man sinned against God. And when man sinned against God, blood, the bloodstream of man was affected. Sin affected our nature. We became a different creature. So we were created in God's image. Man sinned and became something different because of it. Later on, when we see Adam and Eve having a son, we could see that God makes specific that here was Seth made out of Adam's image. Seth was now a carbon copy of Adam, but Adam was no longer in the image of God because sin has now made him something different. And all of us now have this problem of sin in our life. You inherited your sin nature from your daddy. It's your dad's fault. We know our world's always been looking for that excuse. They've been looking for it for a while. It's my daddy that did it. Well, you're still responsible, but you got your sin nature from your dad because you were created in his image. And we are born separated from the fellowship of God. But that's why Jesus came to die for us, to die to restore that fellowship so we could interact with God, respond to God, and respond to God properly. That now, because there's nothing in between, we can get to know God ourselves. We could see all about his majesty, his glory, his might. And as we see that he is Lord indeed, he is God indeed, we respond to him as king and become stewards of the things that he has placed within our hands. This principle affects so much within life. And if you don't mind, I'd like to try to take this time to introduce this subject of stewardship of life. Notice, first of all, that God created us to be co-laborers with him. We're going to spend most of our time in Genesis chapter 1. However, I do want to show you this, Genesis, in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're coming back to Genesis. But notice with me in 1 Corinthians. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God says something very significant dealing with what God desires for us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, or chapter number 3, and in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. By the way, this is a passage dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, that we are going to stand before God and give an account for everything that he has placed steward in our hands. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, he says, for we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. This is how God has created us, and with us accepting Christ as our Savior, this is our relationship. We're laborers together with God. That means that God wants to get something accomplished, and we are laboring with him, with his plan, his desires, going with him, not against him, not in our own way, but we're with him, and God is using us as stewards to accomplish, to take care of, to do what God wants to get accomplished within this world. We have a relationship with him. We are stewards. He has placed something very important in our hands. As we continue on back to Genesis chapter 1, as God has created us to be co-laborers, notice again with me Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let me pause since we're here. Might as well hit that. Notice there's a plural pronoun of our. God says, let us make man in our image. Who in the world is God talking to? There's no one else there. He's talking to himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're having a meeting, and God looks to Jesus and said, Jesus, let's make someone after our image. That's a good idea, God, let's go to it. That we were created in God's image, this hour shows that God is, by the way, three in one. A singular plural noun, he is three in one. And God's had a conversation. So God just didn't create us, he had a conversation about it. Let's create man in our own image so we can have fellowship, so we can work together, so we can do something. Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God's original intent in creating man is that he wanted to accomplish what God wants done in this world, that God has something he wants to do in this world. He created man in God's image so we would carry out what God wanted us to do. And in this case was to be stewards. God walked with Adam. We saw that he walked in the garden for 100 years that he walked with in the garden with Adam. He was able to have a personal, real, intimate relationship. Let me just pose a question. Is this figurative language when we say that God walked with Adam in the garden? Is that just poetical language? No, literal. Jesus, right? He's real. Walked with Adam. They had a real relationship. Just as Adam was able to have a real relationship, you can have a real relationship. What happens when two people are walking out in the field? Have you had a good friend that you're walking together out in the field? Just enjoy time with each other. You talk with each other. You have a communication with them. You could tell them anything. Having that best friend that you could say, I hurt. This is what happened to me today. To be able to have them to listen and talk to. That's what God wants with us. He is a real God. He's not an imaginary mythological figure. He wants to be able to talk with us. God desires friends. You know that God has emotions? Because we're made in God's image, we have emotions too. Have you ever had a day where you just had to tell someone about your day? It was just that bad or that good. You just had to talk to them. And to have someone that you could talk to becomes a big deal. Who does God get to talk to? He has emotions. Do you think he's got lots of frustrations? Probably just me. And God desires to talk with someone. You said, nah, God doesn't get emotional. He doesn't get frustrated. Yeah, go read the accounts of Moses where God says, Moses, move out of the way. I'm going to just fry them right now and I'm going to make you a new nation. And Moses said, wait a second now. You created them. You love them. And he talked him down. Now, people like, wow, Moses could talk him down. No, God never wanted to destroy them. But he was frustrated and wanted to express his frustrations. We can understand that. Have you ever said something you didn't mean, but you're frustrated and you're just trying to express it? Yeah. I want to choke the life out of him. You probably literally don't want to choke the life out of him, but you are literally frustrated. And you just needed someone to listen to you. God is looking for that. And you can have that relationship. You could go up to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I can't deal with this anymore. You're like, are you sure you could do that? Yeah, read Psalms. All throughout Psalms, you have David, my God, why has thou forsaken me? You got to read that with emotion. He's not, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He's frustrated. He's upset. He's brokenhearted. God, why have you forsaken me? Why is these bad things happening? You're like, well, that's not right. We're not saying it's right. We're saying it's how he felt. And he felt like he could tell God anything because God was real and God was a listener. Isn't that wonderful? We can have that type of relationship, that God wants us to be co-laborers with him. And we can, because we can communicate with God. We could spend time with God. We could develop his heart. We can understand what he is doing. And we could get that accomplished because of that fellowship with it. And that is, we have fellowship with him. We could visit with him. He could guide us. He could show us the way. He could give us understanding. He could let us know what he is up to in this world. And he wants to engage with us so we could accomplish what God wants done in this world. But it starts with this relationship, this fellowship with him, as we're co-laborers together. One of the things Jesus told his disciples is that there's a difference between friends and a servant. Friends and a servant. A servant doesn't need to know what the master is up to. The servant just needs to go do this, get it done now. Well, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand. Just do what I told you to do. But a friend, that you want them to understand what's going on and let them willfully choose to say, you know what, I want to help you out with this. I could see what you're getting accomplished. That's what God wants with us. He just doesn't want us to be slaves. He wants us to say, oh, I'm your friend, and I want you to help you get this accomplished because I'm your friend. There's a difference in relationship. Does that make sense? That's what God desires. He wants to let us know what he's doing in the world. God's not like, I'm going to hold this close. I'm going to surprise everyone. God says, no, I want you to clearly know what I want to get accomplished, and I want you to get on board. And the way we could do that is by getting to know him personally, a real God, to develop such a relationship, a fellowship with him, to walk with him. We do that, by the way, through Bible reading and prayer. That's how we get to know him, to fellowship, to listen to him, by learning to listen to his voice, to speak to him in prayer, to hear his voice through the pages of scripture, to grow close to him, to seek after him. God wants co-laborers, and it starts with our relationship with him. As we go on, we also understand that God has made us stewards over his possessions. Stewards. With that, we realize that in the idea of stewardship, we own nothing. Nothing. The sooner we realize that, the better off we are. We own nothing. Like, how can you say that? Well, first of all, God created everything. He made everything. He even created the gold. He's responsible for the money. God created your soul. He owns your soul. He made the earth and everything that's in it. He owns it all because he made it. That means we don't own anything. And that God has placed things in our hand. He gave us this big, beautiful world and said to man, I'm now put you in it. What are you going to do with it? We should desire to get accomplished what God wants to be accomplished. God has a design, as an example. God has a design for marriage and for children. Do you know that my children are not mine? I may use a possessive understanding that I'm responsible, but they're not mine. Who gave me those children? God did. They're his children placed in my hands to be a steward. And I have a responsibility because they're not my kids. They're his kids. That means I need to go find out what he wants me to do with his kids and how to raise his children. That's a big deal. That also means that anyone who says, you know what, I'm just tired of my kids. I don't want to deal with them anymore. You're sinning against God because they're God's kids. This is a big responsibility. It even changes the way I see that. It changes the way that I see marriage. God gave me my wife. I'm responsible because he gave it to me to be a good steward over that relationship that he provided for me. For a Sunday school class, God gave me the Sunday school class. I am a steward over teaching the students in my class. Everything in life, not just finances, but everything. I'm a steward over the time God gave me. Everyone's been given the same amount of time. You have 24 hours in a day, every single one of you. You have the same amount of time that I do. I wish I could take your time and then use it for my own behalf, but I can't. You have the same amount of time. That means you are steward over the time that you've been given. Because once you spend that time, you can never get it back. You only have that much time to use. You have a certain number of days. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us the number of our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We all have a limited number of days. Are we going to waste those days? Or are we going to use them wisely? We're stewardship of time. We're stewardship of course, the finances. We're stewardship of our relationships. We're stewardship of our time. We're stewardship over everything that God has placed into us. The idea of us doing the stewardship is our response to God. He is God. He is Lord. He is King. And I am responding properly to Him. This changes everything when I see everything as a stewardship. I'm just a steward. It's not my church, it's God's church. I'm just being a steward of it. It's not mine. By the way, it's not my Bible, it's God's Bible. I'm a steward of His Bible. I don't have any right to change it. I'm a steward. I'm a steward of the relationships and fellowships, friendships that I have. I'm to be good stewards. How many times that we've wasted a friendship and didn't cultivate it the way that we should? Let it just dry out and waste away. Everything in life becomes our response to God and being a proper steward of what He's given to us. We're going to get into the world a little bit more in a different lesson, but we are even to be stewards of the world. That's the specific context. He says, Adam, I'm putting you in this garden. You are steward. You are steward of every animal, of every plant. You are to be responsible for it. Now, they're to be used for your pleasure, but you're stewards over it. I think we should be wise stewards. I don't think we should worship our environment, but we should be good stewards over it.
Amen.
There should be a responsibility that we take for taking care of what God has given to us. God has given us a building, and it's a nice building. It's an old building, but it's nice. We should be good stewards. We should take care of it. God has given you your home. You are stewards over your home. And we should take care of our home properly, understanding that it's God's let me live here. God's taking care of. And I should be good stewards. If we have our cars, in fact, you should give your car to the Lord and say, God, it's your car, not my car. I already know that, but I'm surrendering it. You use this car however you see fit and help me to be a good steward over it. That means that you change the oil before the light comes on. I'm being a good steward of this. I'm taking care of it. I'm responsible for it. You know, when God owns it, He can take care of it a lot better than you can. He can make that thing last longer. He can really extend it out. God can watch over it. But we realize I'm a steward over it. You said, what if I don't get the money to do it? Well, the good thing, it's not my money or whatever. God, your car, you provide so I can take care of it. You know, that makes prayer a lot easier. I take me out of the equation. It's your building. You take care of this. It's your house. You take care of this. Now, He's going to tell me what to do, but He's able to provide. He's able. We could trust Him. God, everything turns simpler when we realize it's just a simple thing. God owns everything. I'm just a steward, and I could trust Him. I could trust Him. Say, I don't know how to raise my good-for-nothing kids. God, or your kids, you know how to take care of them. Show me what to do. Becomes a lot easier. Everything. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this person you've let come in my life. If I had my way, I'd just kick him off to the curb into a cliff somewhere. But God, you've placed them in my hand. I don't know how to deal with them, but you know what they need. You help me to be a good steward. You teach me so I can be a good steward. Helps us to even take care of relationships. It simplifies everything when we say, God owns everything and I'm just a steward. I'm just responding properly to what God has placed in my hands. Which brings us to the third thing, that if we don't own anything and God does, we're going to have to give an account to Him for how well we were stewards over what God has trusted us with. Notice, if you don't mind, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9, we know in chapter 3, we have the fall of man. Man decided that they were going to go into business themselves instead of doing what God told them to do. By the way, they had an easy job. Only one rule. Sometimes we're like, God has too many rules. God only had one rule and we couldn't obey that. All of this, you see, Adam, that's yours. You could have that fruit, that tree, that fruit, that thing. You could have this over here. You could play over here. You could do this. You could do this. You look at all this stuff you could do. Just don't touch this tree. That's it. It's mine. It's mine. Ownership. Being a good stewardship. It's mine, not yours. I didn't give it to you. It's not for you to have. But Satan was able to get into their flesh and say, God's not good to you by holding back. It's God's. He could do whatever he wants with it. If I have ownership, stewardship over something, and someone says, I want your car, I don't have to give it to them. Right? It's mine. Just because they ask for it doesn't mean they have the right just to take it. Right? Yeah. I know that our government today needs to be retaught that, but it's not mine. It's not yours. You don't have any right to it just because you call dibs on it or you claim to. That's just a stewardship. God said, this is mine, not yours. And Satan was able to work on the flesh and say, God was not good by not letting you have that. God's holding back on you. You know what? You should want that. And after all the things that they could have, they focused on the one thing they couldn't have. Welled up. Started to think about it more. Now you start desiring what's not yours to have. Oh, I wish I could have that. How come I don't have that? How come they can get it, not me? Flesh. Till finally they said, I'm going to take it. It's not yours. And there was a judgment because of it. It wasn't theirs to take. God did not place that in their hands. They took what was not theirs, and there was an accountability. Notice with me in Genesis 3 and verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You know what Adam said? Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Why was you afraid, Adam? Because I messed up. I took what was not mine. And I was afraid of what you were going to do. Why was he afraid? Because God's judge. It was his. And he is allowed to judge with what is his. Adam realized he messed up. And he was going to have to stand before God. Who rightfully was able to judge. And of course there was consequences for it. When we realize that everything is stewardship. We also realize everything is going to be brought into account. Our friendship. Our time, the children God's placed, our possessions, which aren't ours, it's God's. We're going to stand before God and give an account. Let me show you where Jesus makes reference of this. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, Jesus talks about an unrighteous steward. A steward who had to give an account for his stewardship. Luke chapter 16, the Gospel record of Luke. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 16. And notice with me in verse number 1. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 16 and verse 1. And he, this is Jesus, he's telling a parable to his disciples. And he said also to his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. So here's a rich man, and this rich man had a steward. And the same, that steward, was accused unto him, the rich man, that he, the steward, had wasted the rich man's goods. And he, the rich man, called him, the steward, and said unto him, how is it that I hear of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. There is a judgment here. The person who owns the material has every right to have an account for what he's trusted. So let's imagine that I had a financial advisor. I'm not rich enough. Every time I've asked one, can you help manage? They said, you got to have finances to manage. But let's just imagine that I had finances to manage. And I had a financial advisor, someone who helped me to make my money. I would expect them to be good stewards. But if they said, you know what, I think there's still hope for Blockbuster. Let's go ahead and put the rest of your money into Blockbuster. Was that being a good steward?
No.
Do I have every right to be upset with him for wasting my money like that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it was mine and it wasn't his money. He had a responsibility to be a good steward over it. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Now, we know that when money gets involved, there's personal feelings to it, right? Mm-hmm. If you lent someone a bunch of money and then they to go buy a car and they end up buying like a bunch of candy from the candy store, wouldn't you kind of like, wait a second here. wait, how did this work out? How much candy did you get? And we laugh, but we've all heard stories like that. What? We get a little bit frustrated. Finances are personal. Well, that's because there's an ownership. Well, God owns everything. Do you think that he has every right to be upset if he could watch something he's placed in our hands and for us to abuse it, misuse it, neglect it? So, if he sees us with our time, and we're like, you know what? It's mine. I got plenty of it. I'm just going to waste it all. Burn it up. Well, God, who gave us that time, doesn't he have every right to say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I gave this to you for a reason, and you just nothing? Nothing to show for it? He has every right to be upset, and you will give an account for it. For finances, if God's provided finances for us and we said, you know what, instead of giving to missionaries, I'm going to buy a Whopper every day, three times a day. Was that wise stewardship? No, not at all. What about his children? It's his children. We're going to give an account for how well we raise those children to follow God. And if we decided that we're going to just like, you're on your own, kid, you know. I know you're five, but go get a job. You know, I'm not taking care of you anymore. And we do nothing for it. Doesn't God have every right to be upset? These are my kids. It's my kids. I had an expectation. I trusted you to raise them for me. Does he have every right to be upset on that? God has placed a steward. And we are going to give an account for what is his. Going back to the first part, we have every ability to have fellowship with him, to get to know with him, and say, God, what do you want me to do with what you've placed in my hand? What do you want to do with the finances you provided? What do you want me to do with the car that you gave me? What do you want me to do with the time that you gave me? What do you want me to do with the kids that you gave me? What do you want me to do with the relationships you've given me? What do you want me to do with the church that you've placed in my... We should go up to him and say, God, it's yours. What do you want done with it? Has it ever crossed our mind that God knows what to do with this better than we do? So, God, what do you want done with this? If we follow what God's given us to do, are we going to get in trouble for it? No. He said, you did what I told you to. Great, wonderful. It's a better judgment. I was a good steward. Just doing what the master wanted with what was his. It simplifies everything in life. That it's God's. God is God. He's the master. I'm just a steward. I'm to find out what the master wants me to do with what is his and just do what he asked me to do. Work alongside with him and let him do amazing things with what is his. You're like, why did God do this? Why didn't God even trust us? He knew we were going to mess up because he didn't want us to mess up. He's given us every ability to succeed. To go to him and say, God, what would you have me to do? And God says, let me show you. It simplifies everything in life. And so this is just the introduction. We're going to go into more detail in the next 12 weeks to go over more about the stewardship of life and see all the different places that we are to be stewards over. Remember, this is all about our proper response to God. Seeing God for whom he is, and then we respond properly based off of that. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we recognize that you're God and you own everything. You provided these things in our hand. We have nothing. You've just asked us to be stewards. Help us in the next couple weeks to be able to change the way that we think, to change the way that we respond, to let our flesh die, that we could be pleasing to you in all the things and all the matters that you've placed into our hand, that we could be proper stewards and be amazed when we watch you do what you desired to do with all those things in our hands in the first place. Help us, Lord. Help us to respond to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.